think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think
class war.
Class war, the end war.
We want to just quickly send a nice friendly message to the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia.
This is an anti-Nazi song.
Welcome to the Rebel Beat, a Firebrand Records podcast. My name is Aaron. Thanks for being with us. We have an amazing show lined up for you today with a Montreal-based Filipino MC, Kiwi Elefante. He's a community organizer, graphic designer, and he's fire on the mic. We're going to get to that in just a little bit, but first, brand new stuff from KRS-One. Check this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to kick ass.
And governments play the same game. Banks and big business take the same blame. Open your brain, the Klan and the cops are the same. Slave quarters blocks and prison blocks are the same. They only separated by name, overrated by fame. What's in a name? A colonist is the same. People can't really see it because they blocked by the name. But really Nazi Germany and your block is the same. Look, Wall Street and Main Street, really that's the same street. Drug talk, corporate talk, really that's the same speak. Boom back, boom bip, really that's the same beat. A throne or a chair in your home, that's the same seat. I wrote and recorded this album in the same week. California and Barcelona, it got the same heat. I walk the same street, put no trust in the game. Good cop, bad cop, they one and the same. Same shit. Rappers and politicians, they want the same thing. To kneel before they mast and kiss the same ring. But Solomon and Selassie, them are the same king. So from Robes and the Mali, I spit the same swing. Ding, 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 there goes the bell. I'm the same as heaven, these dudes the same as hell. I'm the same as a plane that lift off, fly. They the same as a ripoff, a lie. I remind you, don't let the criminal mind blind you. Instead, let the spiritual mind find you. See, I'm you. Just 20 years ahead, it's to your advantage. You hear KRS-One and rewind what he said. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. Look. Drug cartels is what sells the medical. Drug spots and drug stores are identical. Y'all need to wake up and join with the woke folk. Ignorance is only gonna keep you with them broke folk. KRS is on some cool shit. I ain't nothing to fool with. I teach more kids than the school gets. Game over, stupid. It's like we at the 8-ball corner pocket and I got the pool stick. You can say whatever, me, I'm living better and better. Getting cheddar out in Greece, getting the feta. Up in Catalonia, only eating paella. Up in Italy, getting bread, calling bruschetta. I spit, they cruise cars, I cruise ships. Democrat and Republican, that's the same shit. It's the same shit.
Dear Black Son, there's people you've never met who fear and hate you for something that you never did. And these people are so self-convinced, sometimes they pull a trigger call, that's self-defense. And in that sad insanity, their fear is realer to them than your humanity. But that's their problem, it's not yours. Listen to your pop for a second. These are the confessions of a father brokenhearted who don't know how to pull his only son out of a target. They lied when they said it was the bottom where you started. You were a king long before them ships departed. You were not defined by anybody else's crimes. You don't need to answer for what happens in their minds. You are not confined by their imaginary lines. You don't need permission to exist with the divine. In fact, you don't need permission from no one, including me. You need not do anything but be. Just breathe. Whatever you dream, let it mean you're free. Tears on your cheek never made nobody weak. Sometimes you gotta grieve. Let it burn, let it bleed, then let yourself heal. Pray to God that it will. You got a spirit that a bullet can't kill. That doesn't make it any less real. They say it takes a man to raise a man. You're slipping through my hands like grains of sand. And here I stand, trying to wrestle with the hourglass. Maybe see how long I can make an hour last. Raising a man, you're slipping through my hands like grains of sand. And here I stand, trying to wrestle with the hourglass. Maybe see how long I can make an hour last. Dear Black Sun. Dear Black Sun, I can't protect you like I want to. I never judge you, all that I can do is love you. And that's all anyone can ever do is love you. All I can do is wonder how could anyone not love you. They recognize divine in you, so they try to find themselves by defining you. They're living in a myth that they don't want to lose, and now they're too terrified to face your kind of truth. But every single time you shine is proof that they might have threw a chain around your body, never conquered you. They don't always honor you, but they love your culture. Let me show you how to move when the laws approach you. It's best to keep your hands where they can see them, and try to understand that you're not even what they're peeping. They don't see a sweet kid that loves his little sister. Their mind is seeing 500 years of pictures. In fact, they don't visualize a kid. They see grown man imagery, mythic masculinity. You are not their fetishes or fears, nor my ambitions and tears. Nothing can interfere. We gotta trust our seeds once we sow them. We hold them when they're growing, but we never really own them. We love up, own them, and play with them, pray for them, and cling very closely to the moments. They say it takes a man to raise a man. You're slipping through my hands like grains of sand. And here I stand, trying to wrestle with the hourglass. Maybe see how long I can make an hour last. Raising a man, you're slipping through my hands like grains of sand. And here I stand, trying to wrestle with the hourglass. Maybe see how long I can make an hour last. Dear Black Sun.
Something's gotta give.
It's too
sharp.
It's
shots. Survival made us bend some rules. Quiero que es no hard to sacrifice. Even though all these wrongs can't make it right. Can't forget where we're from as we try to ride. Still grateful to break bread. For this roof over my head. My mental and physical health, yeah. I don't take any for granted. Keep on telling myself this too shall pass, this pain won't last. Oh God, this can't be right. Something's gotta give. This too shall pass, this struggle won't last. Oh God, this can't be right. Something's gotta give.
Are we gonna be alright?
Them can never push you off your path. It's one life you build, so you want no know which thing I make. You want know how much blows you attack. We coming with the positive tune for your positive move. Rocking steady, ready for the positive groove. No time for waste, no time for ball and brood. You study in the struggle, come to positive school. You have to one with the bubbling. Never that deal with the trouble thing. To reach the first, you come from last. Build up yourself and make it fast. One thing for sure, this too shall pass. You have to one with the bubbling. Never that deal with the trouble thing. To reach the first, you come from last. Build up yourself and make it fast. One thing for sure, this too shall pass.
Welcome back to the Rebel Beat Firebrand Records podcast. You can always check us out online at rebelbeatradio.com. Check out Firebrand Records at firebrandrecords.com. And of course, you can find us on social media, facebook.com/rebelbeatradio and on Twitter at rebelbeatradio. So we just started off with some brand new stuff from KRS-One, followed up with a new tune also from Brother Ali. That was Dear Black Sun. We just did an interview with Brother Ali when he was here in Montreal on his tour with Sa Rock. It was an amazing show. So we're going to be bringing you that in the next few months. And then we also just heard a brand new one from Montreal's very own Miriam Sassy of the Nomadic Massive crew. That was This Too Shall Pass, featuring Nantali Ndongo also on vocals there. All right, before we get really deep into things here on the Rebel Beat, if you dig this podcast and if you want to support it, here are three very easy ways to do that. First up, tell a friend. Super simple, efficient. Podcasts really travel like wildfire, especially via word of mouth. So yeah, spread the word on social media, share an episode of the show that you like, or just tell your peeps. Also, be sure to subscribe to this show. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, any of your favorite podcast platforms. And wherever you do, give us a rating, because that'll help people find it online. And finally, if you have a few coins kicking around, sign up on our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/rebelbeatradio. We had a special offer going in May that we're actually going to extend for all of you until June 30th. And that is for everyone who signs up for just $2 a month to support us. You will get a beautiful Rebel Beat pin sent to you in the mail. I mean, think about it. What can you buy for $2 these days? You can barely even buy a chocolate bar. But for signing up $2 a month, we will send you that pin. Unfortunately, it's North America only. For everywhere else, just get in touch with us. You know, we'll add a couple bucks more and send you that pin. So once again, patreon.com/rubbeatradio. You'll be doing this show a huge favor. And the last piece of exciting news before we get to our feature interview today, I'm actually going to be in Detroit for the Allied Media Conference in just a few days. So if you're listening to this before June 15th, the Allied Media Conference is going down in Detroit June 15th to the 18th. It is an incredible and huge grassroots gathering of independent media makers, community organizers, and artists from all across Turtle Island. And I'm actually going to be presenting two workshops down there. I'm going to be on a panel with my sisters in arms at Suena Revolucion and the Groundbreakers. We're going to be doing a panel discussion called Music Journalism for the People. And I'm also going to be doing a more like hands-on podcasting 101 workshop called Start Your Own Podcast. Both of those are going to be on Saturday, June 17th. Anyways, get all the info at alliedmedia.org/AMC and hope to see you in Detroit.
This is M1, M-A-Uno, M-A-Dela-Hente, comprending, intending, you feel me? I'm one half of Dead Prez, to tell it like it is, everything is political rap duo. Here holding my middle finger up to imperialism worldwide. And you in tune right now to the Rebel Beat on CKUT in Montreal 100. Keep it unlocked.
All right, we're going to get to our feature interview right now on the show, and our special guest is Kiwi Elefante. Kiwi is a California-born, Montreal-based Filipino MC, artist, and community organizer. I actually discovered his music at a block party for Migrant Justice in Montreal here just a few weeks ago. He was throwing down some amazing rhymes in a beautiful park on a beautiful day. I figured I just had to go up to him, introduce myself, and get him on this show. There's a link for his website in our show notes, and we'll get to that interview in just a little bit. But first, here's one of his tracks, Free.
Free, gotta stand. Let them know, cock back, let them go, scream if you wanna get free. Damn right it's gonna take some work. Damn right it's gonna take some work. I got nothing to lose, I'm through paying my dues. No more being invisible, I'm making some news. This is front page, bold lettering, all capitals. No bending of the truth, my people, it's all actual. Comedy and tragedy, honesty and agony. Nail me to the cross when I talk about reality. Persecute me, hate me, execute me, rape me. Give it your best shot, you can't break me. You act like this ain't been done to my people before. I'm about 3 or 4 centuries conditioned for war. Flashbacks of bodies burning, I still smell the shrapnel. My people's history is swallowed in a time capsule. I still feel the shackles on my ankles and wrists. Still feel this energy to stand up and resist. Feel my ancestors pushing me to never give up. So I treat my every movement like it's never enough. With the heart of a lion, I'ma get free or die trying. Whether in the classroom or on the block grinding. Whether it's a mic or a gun in my palm, close my eyes for that moment while I'm humming this song. Singing what's going on in the background of hungry children. Bombs dropping, politicians see their money building. This isn't glamour and glitz, it's the opposite. Fuck living fabulous rich, I just wanna get free. Put your fist up, let them know, cop back, let them go, scream if you wanna get free. Hell yeah, it's gonna take some work. You gon' have to roll your sleeves up and dig some dirt to get free. Gotta stand up, let them know, cop back, let them go, scream if you wanna get free. Damn right, it's gonna take some work. We gon' have to dig deep and take them to church. Knuckle up, we gon' thug our way out their little boxes and gangbang our way straight into Bush's office. We're the first or third world, they ain't never gon' stop us. Apache helicopters, ghetto bird choppers, hidden cameras, nosy neighbors trained to watch us. NYPD task force to follow rap artists, this is what we call freedom. Patriotic is trendy, my own cousin joins the Navy to fight for his own enemy.
stand and sing the anthem and worship the bald eagle. When those bombs bursting in air were the ones that killed our people, wiped out the Indians, enslaved the Africans, constituted total entitlement to these crackers, and forced us to leave our homeland for a better life. So now I owe it to my ancestors to get it right. Fuck asking for it this time, y'all, we taking it. Gonna take more than Kiwis mixtape to get free. Put your fist up, let them know, cock back, let them go, scream if you wanna get free. Hell yeah, it's gonna take some work, you gon' have to roll your sleeves up and dig some dirt to get free. Gotta stand up, let them know, cock back, let them go, scream if you wanna get free. Damn right, it's gonna take some work, we gon' have to dig deep and take them to church.
Joining us right now on The Rebel Beat is a very special guest, a new transplant here to Montreal, local MC, hopefully we can call you local, MC, community organizer, artist, Kiwi Elefante. Welcome to The Rebel Beat.
How's it going?
It's going good, yeah. I'm really happy to have you on. I got to admit, like I just kind of discovered your music really recently. Got to see you perform in this amazing context and this like incredibly beautiful migrant justice block party a few weeks ago. And I was talking about that actually last month on the program quite a bit. We did a May Day special. But first, just to jump right into it, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about you?
Hello, Montreal. I am Kiwi Elefante. This is almost my year anniversary here in Montreal, moving from the Bay Area, California, Oakland. But I actually grew up in Los Angeles, so I'm still new to things like French and snow. but I've been rapping for almost 20 years now. In addition to being a solo artist, I was with a group called Native Guns, which is myself and a couple of my friends, Bamboo. He's another Filipino MC, and DJ Fatrick. And then more recently in Oakland, I was in a group called Mass Bass, which was a seven-piece band, which I was the sort of lead vocalist for. And now I'm in Montreal trying to do my thing.
Nice. So yeah, I mean that's a big move, obviously, California to Montreal. What brought you here? I mean, surely it couldn't have been the weather. So.
My partner lives out here. We actually met in Oakland. She was out there for a long time, but she was born and raised in Montreal, and I think she was wanting to come back, and so she asked me if I would consider moving out here. I came out here a couple of times to try it out, and I said, why not? And I was actually doing graphic design school in Oakland, so I had to finish that up. And when I finished that up, pretty much moved here right after that.
Nice.
And, plus I have a little bit of community out here, even the folks from the IWC and folks in the Filipino community that I sort of know out here just through broader community work. I was able to kind of connect with them. So
cool. So it's a love story that brought you out here. That's always nice.
Yes.
We were actually just chatting before this interview that like, I actually remember the first time seeing your face was here where we are right now at CKUT Community Radio. You were a guest on Sigad Nagbayan, the Filipino community show, which unfortunately is no more. Right. So rest in peace to that amazing long-running show. Mad respect to all its producers. Before we, you know, jump into your music, I mean, it's a rare treat sometimes to talk to someone who is, you know, just as passionately an artist as they are an organizer. And I know you've really got like a foot in both worlds.
Right.
And I was just looking at your blog and you were putting up some posts about, you know, community organizing that you've gotten involved with since you moved to Montreal. I know you've been at the Immigrant Workers Center and involved in Filipino community organizations here. So just tell us a little bit about the organizing work you're doing.
Honestly, I would actually consider myself an organizer first and foremost. It's sort of the political work that actually I started rapping before everything, and hip-hop was my gateway I think, to just my own political consciousness. But even back then, I still didn't have a sense of community or identity until I got introduced to organizing in the Filipino community, especially connected to the National Democratic Movement of the Philippines back home where my family's from. And so it was then that, like, I started really sharpening my political analysis. I started learning about what things like imperialism and capitalism were, and also being from the U.S., kind of understanding the sort of the context of the United States and globalization. And so I think even though I was a rapper before, once I started becoming more politically conscious and developing my own political analysis, that's when actually my writing began to become sharper and my lyricism, because then all of a sudden I had all this stuff to write about. And so so I feel like in a lot of ways me as an artist as well as me as an organizer and an activist, those things kind of go hand in hand.
And what draws you into organizing? Like for you, what are some of the struggles that are the most passionate for you?
I think probably first and foremost is the liberation of the people in the Philippines from imperialism and from things like feudalism and corruption in the government. I think it wasn't until I actually went back home, actually learned about the Philippines before I actually went there to visit, and I still didn't really have a deep understanding of the struggle out there and what some of these terms even meant, these big political terms, until I went there and I hung out with the communities and I just saw firsthand the impact of things like imperialism on the people. And I think it was then, after my first time doing an exposure trip out there, that I was like, okay, I think this is what I've been looking for all along, as something to be committed to and passionate about. It was sort of in a way, it was my spiritual journey, you know, and because I had been kind of like seeking out. I've been on a spiritual journey pretty much all my life, even when I was a teenager, and just not finding something that really felt like that really was long lasting and that I wanted to commit the rest of my life to. But then when I went back home and saw that struggle, I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I want to commit myself to. And I think in addition to hip hop essentially being something that kind of catapulted and catalyzed my own just development as a person, I think also that movement out there, the National Democratic Movement in the Philippines, is what sort of gave me something to commit my life to. And so as a cultural worker, I feel like as a rapper, I don't have the luxury to just rap about funny things or dancing or going to the club or having fun. Like, sometimes I do that because I think that's part of my own lived experience. But I feel like, when it comes down to it, like, I have to really tell our stories. I almost don't have a choice but to tell our stories and share those with people who might not know where the Philippines is or what the real struggles of the Filipino people are, and also how advanced that movement is out there in terms of when you talk about movements for social change globally. And so I feel like it's my role as an artist, as a cultural worker, as a musician, to share those stories with people who might not know about us.
Let's get into talking a little bit about your music. But before we talk about your solo stuff that you're doing kind of more recently, as you mentioned, you were involved in a few groups down in the Bay Area, one of which being Native Guns.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about some of the projects you had that led you up to where you are now.
Yeah, Native Guns was I was a solo artist for a long time, and I had originally come from Los Angeles, but then I moved to the Bay Area. And then when I moved to the Bay Area, I actually heard about this dude, Bamboo, coming up in Los Angeles, where I just left. And we had a lot of the same friends, and we started performing in a lot of the same circles, same events. And it turned out we pretty much had a lot of the same views about the world and connections to the Philippines. And so so naturally we ended up doing some work together, even just, you know, kind of appearing on one another's songs. And at some point we decided, yo, why this, you know, this sounds really good. Why don't we just create a group out of this, you know? And so that's where Native Guns came out of. And I think at the time there was a lot of just energy around, especially in the Filipino community and especially on college campuses, around just, you know, just Filipino identity and just community struggles. Mm-hmm. And so I think Native Guns sort of fit in really well with, you know, events and conferences and concerts that Filipino student organizations were putting on to raise community awareness. And so there's this whole generation of you know, 30-something Filipino Americans that Native Guns sort of provided this important cultural blueprint and awareness of. And so I think in retrospect, I think Native Guns was a really important group back then, and even today, because a lot of those 30-something Filipino Americans are like educators now. Mm-hmm. Or they work in different community organizations, and so sometimes our material gets taught in their classes. Or so the youngsters might be like, it's funny because you have these Filipino college students now. You heard Native Guns, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, that's my teacher, my professor's into that group." You know, so it's
old
kinda,
school.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting, but you know, we definitely had a really important run, and then more recently, and Bamboo actually, he's still doing his thing. He has like an amazing discography of his own solo work that he's done, and he's really. He's really an amazing artist and one of my closest homies.
Put up a pistol and whistle a warning by calling your people to war. Whether it's marching or rallying, all of it's battling. Out to get more for the poor, attacking political strategists.
Big brother cameras.
Savages ready to go. I could have shut the fuck up, but I was nice enough
to let y'all motherfuckers know.
It's time for the victimized to be let inside and be given a shot to be heard, instead of just sitting around for another letdown.
Like, yeah, that was bound to be burned.
The table is turned in every direction, is us getting F'd in an A. And every day, another young brother gets carried away in one in three different ways.
One.
Getting too heated and pulling the heat to get back to get a man clapped.
Two.
Getting carried away in a body bag from being on the wrong end of a gap.
Three.
Getting carried away, handcuffed to your back, and pigs putting kicks in your ribs. It's a twisted psychology, tragedy, commie, and that's just how motherfucking is. We live in the last days, the Patriot Act, a veteran still in a rut. Native Guns, that's what's up. 1, 2, 3, bruh, 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 bruh.
The other thing that I recently got into maybe like 3 or 4 years ago was this group called Mass Bass, which was...
who we played on the Rebel Beat, by the way.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, so, Mass Bass, which was... It was just a group of comrades that I was working with in the Bay Area, Filipino Kasamas that I was working with, who some of whom were kind of dabbling in music and playing instruments. And so I came through and started jamming with them, and one thing that led to another, and all of a sudden we had this band. And and we started making music, and I think we wanted to be very intentional with the band about what kind of topics and things we were covering. So we talk about migration and immigration. We talk about we came up during the whole Occupy movement. So we have a song about Occupy Wall Street, or
nice.
And then so we have different songs like that that are sort of connected to what was going on and the things that we wanted to talk about. So yeah, those are very, very different experiences. It's different being with two rappers and a DJ versus being in a band. So I think that was really fun to just kind of be a part of those two different things, and also just really excited to just kind of go back into my solo stuff and try to put some stuff out.
whole world sees a Slytherin. Pimps and killers in, Democrats and Republicans, nothing different. Whether out in the streets or in the government, he only out for himself and he don't give a shit. He got his heart and his mind on the bottom line, to go from pennies and dimes to the dollar sign, using the media lies to push us all behind. He calls it free enterprise, but I call it crime. Hiding behind a microphone and a podium, his greedy fingers all dipped in petroleum. People protest him, he sends soldiers in. They hella watching us, but who's patrolling them? It's like, what the fuck, we done had enough. Obama ain't doing nothing, and so we standing up. It's just us, they got cops and armor, live and direct, Franco Bauer Plaza.
Ooh, mama, there we go, that man.
I just wanted to jump back a little bit to talk about, you know, the Philippines and the Filipino diaspora. I think one thing that's been really amazing for me since I moved to Montreal 15 years ago, and some of the most inspiring organizers I met since I've been here are specifically Filipina women in the community. And you know, it's important to name them because these people have been like doing it for so long. Like Tessalona is one of the founders of the Immigrant Workers Center.
Mad respect for her.
Yeah, of course. And then Evelyn Calagay as well, who's you know, has been working with PNAE, which is a group that organizes Filipina domestic workers. Yeah. You know, just looking at the history, even if we look at the U.S., I think there's this incredible history and a tapestry of, like, you know, supporting farm workers, organizing in the labor movement, domestic workers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like this incredible tapestry of movement organizing. And like, where do you see your music in there? How does it kind of like interact with that history and that present?
First of all, mad respect to it's been interesting, kind of being here and observe. I've been mostly sort of observing and absorbing just the work that folks in the Filipino community have been doing. And you know, one of the main differences is actually a lot of the organizers here are just a little bit of the older generation, mm-hmm. versus in the United States, a lot of it was younger folks organizing, mm-hmm. and figuring stuff out, and you know, a lot of Filipino Americans and not having the same kind of connection to the Philippines because it wasn't them who was born in the Philippines, it was their parents, you mm-hmm. know. So so it's been an interesting observation and seeing the amazing work that folks like Tess and Evelyn have been doing, organizing Filipino migrants, Filipino women, I think is something that is very different and distinct to Montreal, maybe even to Canada, that doesn't look the same in the United States. So I've been really appreciating that. And I think that for me, I feel like the way that my music connects is that, you know, just being born in the United States and growing up and having that Filipino American or overseas Filipino experience, not, you know, growing up without really a sense of Filipino identity until I became politicized. And, you know, because I feel like a lot of young Filipinos, especially the ones who either grew up here or came here at a very, very young age, kind of have that experience too. You know, they sort of lose touch with their homeland and lose the sense of why it is that their parents moved here in the first place. And I think that's sort of one of the main things that I try to make the connection with in my music. You know, I might talk about something that's going on in the Philippines, and I might try to draw the parallel between that and the struggles of Filipinos that is going on here. In addition to that, I feel like music... a lot of what I was able to do in the Bay Area was also make connections with other communities, you know, Palestinian communities, Latino Chicano communities, other Southeast Asian communities in the Bay Area. You know, I think there was a lot of really amazing solidarity work that was happening out there. And I think it was, for me, through my music, performing at people's events, you know, you know, writing songs that sort of have a more of a broader brushstroke around things like U.S. imperialism or migration, that I was able that I felt like the music really was able to make a good contribution to our work out there.
Yeah, and of course, like, Oakland has always been such a bastion of this incredible radical culture, and Boots Riley and the Coup are from the Bay Area. So, like, for me,
that's just scratching the surface with them too. You know, sure. I mean, they have a huge history of organizing and activism, Black Panthers, and I feel like it's just something that's a part of the culture out there, especially in Oakland and Berkeley and even in San Francisco. Just a long history of fighting. And so I think naturally it sort of trickles into the – you might even have the most maybe typical ignorant kind of rappers, but they'll still talk about gentrification. You know what I mean? Or they might talk about police violence, or they might talk about there's still sort of some politics that they might throw in there, because that's just sort of what's sort of natural in the Bay Area. And so it was good to be a part of that.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I got to ask you, like, now that we're talking about the Bay Area, I've been thinking a lot about this, especially since the tragedy of the ghost ship fire that happened over the past year, many young people losing their lives in an alternative space that burned down. And you hear, nightmare stories about the rents in San Francisco, obviously.
Yeah. Seriously.
I always hear stories from friends. I've never even been to Oakland, but just like the rents there going
no
up
joke.
Quick. And so, artists tend to thrive and to flock to places like Montreal is for sure one of them, where it's like pretty cheap to live, and that's a beautiful thing. But like, would you say that like the Bay Area is retaining that? Is there a threat of that disappearing?
Yeah, I mean, in the Bay Area, it actually started with San Francisco, and San Francisco was also one of these places that had a huge Chicano community, huge Filipino communities, huge Black community, and with those communities came a lot of its culture and its sort of its coolness, you know what I mean? And gentrification sort of came around, and a lot of, I mean, the rents are ridiculous there, but there's also sort of a systematic way that people have been pushed out, and so San Francisco looks totally different now, and it's sad. Like, there's people I know who were born and raised there, and they'll go back into the city to hang out, and they'll just be like, "This isn't where I grew up," This is, and naturally sort of trickled over into Oakland because it's just across the bridge, and at some point Oakland wasn't as expensive as San Francisco, and it still isn't, but it's because people have started to move out there, and even started, some of the businesses that were in San Francisco started moving into Oakland, like the tech businesses. There's a huge Uber building that's going to be built, and it's about to be built in downtown Oakland. That's going to, that's going to not just house Uber, but other sort of tech companies. And, that's going to really change the landscape of Oakland, as if it hasn't already been changed.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that it's pretty wild. And so for me, in some ways, I feel like maybe it was a good time for me to move. I mean, what I'm paying for an apartment, and people tell me that my apartment's not that cheap, but compared to Oakland, I'm paying maybe a third of what I was paying in Oakland, maybe even a quarter of what I would be paying for the same kind of apartment. So, and I feel like it sort of affects the quality of life, it's like, oh, all of a sudden I have this, I'm not spending 50% or more of my income towards my rent, and I'm able to just do things like pay for food and basic things, but also pay for just enjoying life and hanging out with my family and friends, So I feel like it's a trip. I mean, it's a trip how drastic that, how something like that really makes life a little bit different. And I feel like all people deserve that, all people deserve to be able to just have the not have to worry about just the basic needs,
for sure.
And be able to just enjoy and contribute to society and do things for other people as well, you know?
Yeah. God, what you're bringing up about the tech industry, it makes me think of that video that went viral about those tech bros in San Francisco who like went and booked a basketball court.
Yeah, it was a soccer field.
Right. And these kids are like, yo, no one books this.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, I think, yeah, that's, yeah.
It's like a little
Dropbox. They're from Dropbox.
Right.
And they, yeah, and they were like, we got a, you know, and that's, it's and it's funny because that's how, it's always with these pieces of paper, like colonization, treaties, you know, they're like, well, you know, even Standing Rock, it's like we got this piece of paper or this document that says that we can, you know, we can do whatever we want, you know, and it almost always comes at the expense of poor people and people of color and immigrant communities and people in the third world. And so, yeah, I mean.
For sure. I think what I love about that video, though, is that how the youth in it are just not giving a fuck.
And that is part of that is that legacy of organizing and community awareness in the Bay Area in San Francisco. I mean, there was a lot of amazing warriors and organizers that came out of that area in the Mission District.
Yeah.
So that legacy is all over the place in the schools, you know, in the artwork that's in the murals that are in the neighborhood, you know, and in just in the stories and the things that people pass on to the young folks out there. So, you know, even though the neighborhood around them is changing, these young, I think even the changing of the neighborhood is actually making young folks in the Mission District even more woke, you know, because they realize that, like, they're like, why is my neighborhood changing? Why are all these tech bros moving in here? And they start to gain awareness about capitalism and gentrification. And so, you know, so when they saw that, so when that thing went down with the soccer field and the Dropbox guys, you know, they had a response for it.
Yeah. All right, so we're still here chatting with Kiwi Elefante. Let's get to your music because we've talked about a lot of stuff. So I said, okay, we're gonna pull out two tracks that are kind of like your favorites and talk about those. But if you'll permit me to, I'd actually like to pick one because it's a track that you did a video for.
Okay.
Seeds.
Yeah.
And so I was actually just watching that right when you came into the studio here.
Yeah.
Tell us about Seeds.
Seeds. Well, as you can see from the video, that's my first Montreal video.
Yeah.
Looks cold. That was how I made use of the cold and the snow, and here in Montreal, you know, I figured if I'm gonna be in a place this cold, I might as well try to take advantage of the sort of charming look of the snow and try to make a video out of it. Seeds was essentially a response to the election of Donald Trump as the president of the United States. And
it's almost hard to say it because it's crazy.
People are trying not to, because it's almost surreal, right? It's like, really? Like, but, you know, just sort of the, I think for me, it was some of the initial feelings that I had when that became a reality. And I feel like right after the election, I pretty much wrote that song because I was just like, all right, I need to respond as a cultural worker. I think those are the moments that cultural workers are really important to respond to things like that, to respond to war, to respond to poverty and gentrification, and to respond to injustice, to respond to young people of color or people of color being murdered by police, and to respond to things like internet trolls being voted in as the leaders of the free world, as they call it. And what does that mean? What does that mean about Americans? What does that mean about the world? And so I think that was just sort of my feelings, my emotions about that happening.
Mm. All right, well, let's go to Seeds right now. We'll hear that track on the Rebel Beat.
You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else.
What does the rich man do just before he walks into the gates of hell? Does he offer remorse, or does he look back on his life, shrug his shoulders and say, oh well, is there really a heaven, or is that a false dream? Do we really have to suffer? Is it all a scheme that the powers that be made to keep us meek, like we'll inherit the earth if we stay quiet and weak? We need a do-over. This election making everybody's mood sober. I guess we'll see who's the true soldiers. Warriors on the front line, daytime or nighttime, pushing back against hate crimes or pipelines. It feels hopeless. Our people getting tasered and bruised, but the mainstream news won't notice. You see how the system was never designed for us, and meanwhile another family becomes homeless.
There's no time for euphemisms right now. America chose hate. It's not a new kind of hate. It's an all-American kind of hate. It's a hate that we knew was always here, but we wanted to believe it wasn't strong enough to win anymore. And we were wrong. And let's not beat around the bush. Uh-huh. White America chose hate.
I see the devil in a suit and tie peddling hate. Just some crumbs on a hook, but they taking the bait. A red cap saying something about America great. White men in camouflage all carrying weight. They can't wait to catch something black or brown in a hoodie. Country looking like a playground full of bullies. A witch hunt, lynch mob coming for all of y'all. Take away your right to choose and go and build a wall. Got his finger on a button just waiting to drop a bomb. What happens when the clean water is gone and another Molotov burns up another mosque? Who exactly benefits and who pays the cost? Well, our liberation means more than a vote. All this time in hibernation and we just got woke. Lit a fire for an entire generation of folks. Respiration, just catching our breath, now let's go.
An artist's beauty, as far as I'm concerned, is to reflect the times. But I think that is true of our painters, sculptors, poets, musicians. As far as I'm concerned,
we're back here on the Rebel Beat here in studio, CKUT Radio with Kiwi Elefante. We just heard the track Seeds. And I want to talk now about another one of yours, Highway Robbery. Tell us about this track.
Highway Robbery is my dedication to capitalism. It is a, it talks about the first line is it's the first line is the greatest trick that the devil ever played, because it's kind of like, you know, in a lot of ways this idea of capitalism is almost like a joke. It's a trick, but people are sort of buying into it because of things like pieces of paper and you know, things like historical power that governments and corporations have and how they sort of impact the most vulnerable people, poor people, immigrant folks, people of color, women. And so this is my dedication to that.
All right, let's get into it. Highway Robbery here by Kiwi Elefante.
Capitalism, for me, and for many of us, at this present moment, is an evil.
The system doesn't seem to be providing for the well-being of all the people.
Capitalism is wrong.
The greatest trick that the devil ever played. Pulling the strings of a puppet on stage, a master and a slave, a story gets written with blood on the page, a family evicted, a bank that gets paid, a pipeline, a prison for black and brown kids, unless one of them kids gets shot by the pig shit. Television tells our children they are worthless, that they're limited to what is on the surface. Money, cars, and clothes, you gotta have those. Light of skin, little plastic surgery on your nose. Trust me, bro, them dollars will pull you all the hoes. Sorry, folks, that's just how this fucking system goes. Yep. That profit margin, the beauty of free enterprise. We getting crumbs, our bankers are getting hella pie. This part of history is that we all are living a lie. Sky's the limit for us, the limit is the sky.
The system has built into it what we call propaganda. I'm in awe of propaganda. ability to convince people who are victimized by the very system to support the system and see it as a good.
What gets me mad is this shit right here. Bailed out the banks with a campaign of fear. The target was clear. The rich get richer and the poor disappear. That crisis in the mirror is closer than it appears. So folks, stand back. All I got left is these old man raps with my soul on a track. Shorty's hella cruising around Oakland strapped while this country's getting jacked by Goldman Sachs. So who's the real criminal? The thugs on Wall Street, like corner boys shooting dice on the concrete. They got a gluttonous feast, but they still wanna eat. Ready to pounce, just waiting for us to fall asleep. And no matter where we go, they trying to follow us. Non-profits looking more like corporate offices, calling it what it is. Analyze the property, real life monopoly, highway robbery. Coca-Cola, Chevron, Fox, Kellogg's, J.P. Morgan, Halliburton, Shell, Caterpillar, Goldman.
Hi, we're back here on The Rebel Beat and Highway Robbery. We just heard Kiwi Elefante, who's still with us here on the program. We're going to round things out, but one thing I actually wanted to ask you was there's a documentary came out last year. You were kind of the central figure in that, Sounds of a New Hope. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Sounds of a New Hope. It's it was directed by my friend Eric Tandock, who he's based in Long Beach, California, and he's also an organizer, probably first and foremost. Really, he wanted to do a documentary about the movement in the Philippines, but I think he also wanted to speak to Filipino Americans and their and our experience, kind of sort of. Kind of speak to that disconnect that we have as second generation Filipinos, and so I think the way that he decided to approach it was through music, through hip hop, because that's something that is very prevalent in terms of our experience, and then also just through my own experience as a Filipino American. So he kind of even though I'm sort of like the central. Kind of figure in the documentary. I think it's more about just our experience as you know, seeing the movement in the Philippines through the eyes of the Filipino American experience. And even though my story isn't necessarily the story of every Filipino, I think hopefully there was some parallels that, you know, whether it was sort of not having a sense of identity or growing up not knowing your culture, I think that's some of the storylines that come out. And then there's a part where obviously I go back home to the Philippines to try to connect with young Filipinos out there. I basically end up trying to do these hip hop workshops out there, and it's a struggle because my Filipino, my Tagalog isn't very good, and so we're listening to Tagalog songs that I don't have that I'm just not able to talk about in the same way because they're in Tagalog, and so there's this sort of this struggle that's going on. But, and I think in some ways that's the metaphor for my own struggle as far as just my disconnect with my own homeland. Mm-hmm. So I think – and in the end we start kind of just bringing it back to just why learning about our history is really important. And it actually came out a few years back, and but it came out a few years back. And
amazing. So we'll post a link to that documentary, Sounds of a New Hope. I think you can watch the whole thing up on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if it's the whole. There might be. It might be in parts, but it should be on YouTube.
Okay.
Or it might just be kind of like a long trailer, basically. Right.
Well, we'll at least post the trailer, and we're gonna post all your links up in the show notes as well. Kiwi Elefante again here with us on the program. Lastly, before we go, are there any other musicians, artists, MCs that you want to shout out that people have to be listening to out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think being that I'm from California and the United States, I definitely there are probably folks that people out here might not know about, but you know, definitely Bamboo. There's an artist by the name, well, he has a, there's this group, Power Struggle. They are, they're also on the Beat Rock label with Bamboo. Power Struggle is actually one person, but I don't, for some reason he, you know, I think every time he connects with either a producer or other artists, he, you know, it's like, sort of named itself Power Struggle. I always joke with him about it. I'm all like, but you're one person, but okay. Power Struggle, Ruby Ibarra, she's a Pinay rapper also based out of the Bay Area. Basically anybody on the Beat Rock music roster, Rocky Rivera, all of those folks, they're definitely dope artists that you would, that you should definitely check out. There's a group out here, one of the old producers of Sigaw ng Bayan, Neil Castro. He has a new group called, not a new group, but it's a reformed group, Rebel.
Yeah.
It's a band. So they're starting to do some stuff again. Nice. So definitely check them out.
I'm really pumped that they started doing music again, because I saw them play once and it kind of blew me away. Neil was a guest actually on the Rebel Beat back when we first started, and like they're like a Filipino version of Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Completely local. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so he's out there paying his dues again. There was one show that I saw him perform at, and it was one of those just kind of pay your dues and get a really crappy spot in the lineup, and I think I think that's sort of what I'm doing as well, just kind of like, you know, starting to just kind of get out in the scene again, and meeting folks. There's this really good artist who raps in French, so I pretty much don't understand much of what is being said, but I could just tell from the energy and that the lyricism is dope, and that he's saying some amazing stuff, and that's this guy Webster.
Oh yeah, amazing.
And he also does these Black Quebecois tours or whatever.
Sure, yeah. Quebec History X.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So I saw him not too long ago at an event, and I was like, this guy is amazing. And I don't even know anything that he's saying. My partner was with me, so she was like saying, oh, I think he's talking about this. So I was definitely checking him out. Yeah.
I saw him actually give a workshop last summer on history of slavery in Quebec. And it's incredible, you know, because usually people don't think about Black slavery in Canada, and it did exist.
Right.
Obviously not to the same extent as in the U.S., but important histories to uncover.
Yeah. So. And so, I mean, I feel like, you know, all these different – it's cool being out here and meeting artists who have a community connection and learning about the community through them. I think that's one of the ways that I'm educating myself about Montreal and Quebec and Canada. And so, I look forward to doing a lot more of that.
Amazing. Once again, we've been speaking with Kiwi Elefante here on the Rebel Beat. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Welcome back here on The Rebel Beat. We're just about rounding up the show, but we're going to end, as we always do, with our Turn It Up segment, where we look at an artist or community organization that is really using their music for a platform for social change. But we're going to do a little bit of a spin on it this time. Instead of just having the Turn It Up segment, we're also going to kind of take a page out of Dave Zirin's book, where he does a Just Stand Up award, but also a Just Sit Your Ass Down award for people in the sports world who are saying really nasty shit. Anyways, we're going to do a Turn It Down award too. So let's start with the Turn It Down award just for fun. This goes out to Tom York from Radiohead. So of course, Radiohead are scheduled to play a show in Tel Aviv, Israel, later this summer. And like many artists, they've been urged to respect the Palestinian call to boycott their shows in apartheid Israel.
They had an appeal sent to them from luminaries such as Bishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa, Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, and many others. And they have, of course, ignored that call to boycott. In the last few weeks, Thom Yorke broke his silence on the boycott, completely dissing it and calling it divisive. So in a statement he put out about BDS, which is the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction campaign, he wrote, quote, "All of this creates divisive energy. You're not bringing people together. You're not encouraging dialogue or a sense of understanding." Well, look, the thing that Yorke is overlooking is that the BDS call to boycott Israel is a picket line. And just like workers in a picket line, I would sincerely hope that you wouldn't tell striking workers, "You're being divisive for going on strike against your boss to demand workplace safety or better pay." It's not like workers need to sit down and dialogue with their bosses. Similarly, a rock concert isn't dialogue. We don't need more dialogue to end Israeli apartheid. We need the world to take leadership from the Palestinian people who have clearly asked the world to boycott Israel, and we need to take action. So boo to Radiohead for dissing the BDS campaign and for going ahead and shamefully doing their concert in apartheid Israel. But to turn it around and to kind of look on the brighter side for our Turn It Up segment, this goes out to Evan Greer and the amazing compilation she just put out for Chelsea Manning called Hugs for Chelsea. And of course, as we all know, while Chelsea Manning basically needs no introduction, one of the most courageous voices out there and someone who went to prison for her beliefs, she walked away a free woman out of jail on May the 17th, but she still really needs support, you know, to get back on her feet. Of course, she underwent a gender transition while in prison, which is an incredibly strong and courageous thing to do. So Evan Greer, who is a queer folk singer and artist, put together this amazing mix, and you can download it. I think it's $25 for the whole compilation, and all the proceeds go directly to support Chelsea Manning. We put a link to it in the show notes, so go check it out there. We're going to leave you from one last one from Ike Riley, who is a part of the Firebrand Records family and also has an amazing track on that compilation. But before we go, I just want to thank all our Patreon supporters: Brian, Ryan, Megsha, Camilo, Benjamin, Jay, Ross, Israel, DJ Kill McKinley, Jesse, Dasha, Thomas, Ursula, Andy, Franklin, Hessel, Hunter, Lee, Frank, Yannick, Scott, and Anne. Our Patreon support page is patreon.com/rebelbeatradio. We will see you next time. And to take us out, here's Ike Riley with Bolt Cutter.
Don't you understand? I'm nervous waiting for my baby's plane to land, returning with the family from the Holy Land. Allah, Allah, Christ, don't you understand? I walked, I wrecked my brain, I ran. I can't find my baby, got this travel ban. I never saw a pass through the customs gate. I checked the screen and the plane ain't late. The flowers that I bought beginning to wilt. The frango mints turned to chocolate milk. I walked, I wrecked my brain, I ran. They got a shackle to a mama down to Carousel 10. DJ made a song request, confess my sin to the only friend I got, knows the shape I'm in. Hey, Mr. DJ, help me break her chains. Get your bowl cutters and meet me down in baggage claim. I started to shake. The DJ cut my baby in her mama's chains and said, "Welcome, ladies, to the USA." The car was at the curb and I threw him the keys. We went to Gina Giorgetti's with the refugees. Mistake about it, we got a civil war. My eyes have seen the cracks in the glory of our lords. Golden showers from golden towers rain down upon us at the midnight hour. I walked, I racked my brain, I ran. Allah, Allah, Christ stole our dreams again. The dreams of the mothers and the daughters and the family that she thought she'd never see again. The dreams of the dogs, the Irish and the blacks, the refugees, the immigrants. The dreams of our DJ and his deepest tracks. When your dreams get stole, you gotta steal them back.